All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nichol, and joining me today from the baseball team, Associate Head Coach Justin Hauer. So, Coach Hauer, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're days away here from the Vikings season opener. This will be the third season that the Vikings open play at the Rhodes Classic down there in Memphis. But, you know, today's weather kind of threw you for a little bit of a loop. So sounds like most of your morning's been editing travel and trying to figure out how to get the team down there.
Yeah, the plan was to leave today at 4 p.m. after classes. Obviously, with the weather coming in today, things kind of changed with the bus company. And then the plan is right now is to leave tomorrow at 6 a.m. Early morning, get the guys on the bus, get down to Rhodes, practice for a little bit, get the body loose, and then play two games on Friday and one right now on Saturday with the weather that's there currently. So I think that's part of baseball. You're always kind of adapting and trying to overcome. So, I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the game, especially early February, early in the season like this. So,
yeah, it seems like, you know, when the baseball schedule comes out and with me calling the games, it's like everything's tentative. So a lot changes, a lot happens. So now what's it about like the Rhodes Classic that, you know, makes it such like a fitting stage for the Vikings to kind of kick their season off? You know, this will be the third year. You know, why has that been kind of fitting for the team?
I mean, I think for us, we know that we're supposed to get warmer weather. Obviously, they're not getting the snowfall that we're getting here currently. They're getting more of a rain more than anything else. And the other thing, too, it's when you go down there, you know that you have to kind of be ready to play because you're facing teams that are potentially regional teams right away. So I think the preparation is easy to get our guys to obviously to go in the gym every single day and kind of grind it out that way. But telling them like, hey, no matter who you play opening day weekend, I mean, it's everybody's opening day weekend. So, I mean, Rhodes already has three games played. You know, we're scheduled to play them once after Webster. So, I mean, you're just facing teams that have been in the NCAA tournament. That's exactly what you want. You want to test your group right away. So,
yeah, and I think Rhodes, what most recently was just inside the top 25. So it's good to play quality games, you know, kind of right out of the bat. And now, did Augie sign like a multi-year commitment to that, or how does that, is it more of a season by season decision to play in those?
More of it's season by season. Their head coach, Jeff Kleanthis, and Coach Wallace actually were on the board of the NCAA baseball tournament years ago. And that's kind of how the relationship started. You know, even when I first got here, he used to describe his buddy, you know, down at Rhodes, kind of someone that he could kind of lean on and call if we needed to get a game in early February or whatever else. So that's how that whole thing started. Obviously, that's way before my time, but I mean, that's all kind of part of it. But it's definitely year to year. Each year, you're trying to plan out the next season prior to. So,
yeah, you know, the Vikings have a couple of trips they always take down to Florida. And, you know, I know, was it last year, D3 Baseball, one of their podcasts was talking about it's a little bit unique for, you know, Augie to take multiple trips down to Florida, for instance, as well to Tennessee. You know, so it's, you know, it's kind of a, kind of a neat nuance, you know, when you come to Augustana and get some additional playing time, you know, down in Florida where, you know, some teams maybe only get to do, you know, maybe one trip, you know, if one at all. So, now do the players, you know, I think about like, when does this team, begin like baseball activities?
Official baseball activities probably start more so in like the second week of J term for us and from a class standpoint. So you're talking about the second week pretty much in January. Now, up until that point, they do a lot of things from like a captain's practices or team lifts or anything like that. That's captain's led. They can kind of do that stuff on their own. So we actually saved a few dates. You have 114 contact dates that you can have with your team spread out between the fall and the spring. So what we chose to do the fall is we actually wanted to save some in our back pocket, and we started a little bit earlier with our official contact day of practice. So, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, we've kind of been rolling since, honestly, that first or second week of January. I mean, the guys pretty much had a week to get acclimated back into J-term class, and then it was is pretty much full go after that. A couple days a week anyways, if that makes sense. So,
yeah. Now, when baseball activities kick off, like, I mean, what does it kind of look like? I mean, it's probably somewhat difficult to simulate games, get outdoors. You know, what does that look like for those first kind of 4 or 6 weeks of just getting the team ready to roll?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you start up practice again, that first week, you're really trying to like hone in on the fundamental part of the game. You're trying to knock out, you know, bun O, bun D, first and thirds, PFPs, pick plays, four corner bunting. I mean, you're trying to get guys reps. You know, when you go home for Christmas break, you're trying to, you know, kind of do some stuff on your own. But this is really the element of getting the guys back into the team aspect of it. So we want to accomplish what we can indoors. We have the Carver Center. We have a four cage system there. We've been doing live ABs pretty much since the end of the first week, or actually the first part of the second week of January. So, I mean, that's kind of been nice for us. Our pitchers have kind of been ready to roll, and that kind of gives us a little bit over a month to kind of prepare to make our adjustments and get out, I guess, the cobwebs of not playing every day. So that's all part of it. So
have you, you know, I saw as an email came out a week or two ago. I think this Friday is the Augustana like alumni day where you can come over and hear about like the 15-year like strategic, you know, playing for, you know, for Augustana. And, you know, I know there's some different like athletic, I think, components built in there. Any special requests, you know, that the Vikings made about, you know, I think it'd be cool to have like, you know, somewhere you can do even, you know, more, you know, field work, you know, leading up to it and a little bit more open space, but any special requests that the baseball team maybe put into that?
Yeah, we think our facility, I mean, we're not naive to how blessed we are with what we have, right? And I think we've done a really good job of maintaining it to make sure it stays one of the prestigious elements, I guess, in the Midwest in terms of baseball in general, with the practice infield and turf batting cages and everything else in that regard. But I mean, I think the next step for us would be kind of a synthetic turf, hopefully at Bruner Field, Swanson Stadium. I think that would allow us to, you know, get outdoors and scrimmage a little bit sooner. That's like probably top on our list, understanding mm-hmm. what our students go through on a day-to-day basis of just setting up for practice and everything else. But I think the other part too is, I think my list is a lot different than what everybody else may be playing. I'm a baseball guy first. So the other part that I think would be great for the school would be like a synthetic kind of practice area that would allow baseball, softball, all the other indoor facility or indoor sports that involve like grass or weather or deal with weather on a day-to-day basis. I think that would be very unique as well. So that's probably my top two there for sure. So,
yeah. No, I'm glad you said the synthetic field for Bruner Field, because, you know, that would certainly help speed up, you know, some of those rainy spring, you know, storms that come through. I know, you know, Coach Eater's out there dragging the field a ton. Kids are trying to get it prepped, and, you know, heck, you know, you're a little tired before you get started some days, you know, just trying to get the field prepped. So, you know, I think about, you know, or St. Ambrose has that bubble over here, you know, off of Brady. I'm like, heck, something like that would be awesome for the Vikings to have, just the space, the openness, and, you know, something like that to get in, stretch and stretch the ball a little bit would probably help too. But I don't know, if I win the lottery, we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. that if that does come to fruition. So, but yeah, I think, you know, what we have, I mean, we are very fortunate. We actually fit a full infield inside the Carver Center when all the bleachers are kind of held back with all the ceilings and stuff. They're allowed to, you know, the hoops operate up and down. I think they're like the second largest in North America operating hoops that go up and down. I think the first one is actually Wharton Fieldhouse here in Moline. So, but anyways, it's one of those things where we get to obviously kind of have a similar practice of what we would outside, but we just can't simulate, you know, ball flight, us hitting and seeing ball flight, or us seeing pitching at a normal, you know, we see it at a normal depth, but you're still confined into the cages. So that's obviously, you know, something we kind of work around. But I think the other thing too, is it really does kind of make us hone in on our fundamentals and the little things that have, you know, Coach Wallace has done to make this program kind of win year in and year out. I mean, the fundamentals part of it, you know, he's pretty dialed in when it comes to practice planning and making sure things are kind of going smoothly. And every day is a challenge. I know, you know, when you're inside, it can become a little bit monotonous, but that's all part of, you know, us trying to be good coaches, it's changing things up and making sure our guys, you know, keep that competitive edge for 2.5 hours each day. So that's pretty much it.
Definitely. Now, the Vikings, you know, ended 27-17 overall last year. You know, they split 10-10 there in conference play, you know, second in the CCIW tournament. You know, this year picked, you know, second in the conference in the preseason poll, you know, receiving some top 25 votes there. What's kind of your general thoughts, you know, as you look at the upcoming season?
I'm excited. I know we have a tough schedule ahead of us. I know no matter who we play every single day, everybody's going to, you know, hopefully get our A game. We're probably going to hopefully get theirs. So, I mean, I'm excited about this season. I think we have a really, really good group that's returned, that kind of experienced some highs and lows of last year. But then also we brought in some guys, I think, this year that will help us drastically right away. And that might even happen game one, you know, for us, you know, at Rhodes or whatever. So, you know, we knew in the fall that it really wasn't up to our expectations after the spring season of 2024. So my job is to make sure we're creating a competitive environment. And I thought our fall was very, very good to see returners bring it and guys who maybe were maybe not at the top of the depth chart right away. And then you bring in some new guys that kind of push everybody a little bit. And that's obviously a good thing. Going into the season, I'm very excited. It's just going to be up to the guys to kind of perform. I mean, and us to obviously perform and press the right buttons. I thought in 2023 and 2022, you know, we did a good job of kind of plugging and playing anybody we wanted to and guys stepping up. And that's what every year is, right? You know, in 2024, we lost two All-American arms, a couple of key guys out of the bullpen, a couple of key offensive guys. So you're trying to rely on guys to kind of take that next step. And that's what every season's about, right? I mean, we want guys to take steps and kind of build off the careers that they've either had or going to start. So that's all part of it. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, we're returning 7 5th years, 7 seniors. Does having that level of experience, you know, raise your expectations for the season, or just regardless of the age of the roster, you come in with the same expectations? Does that influence that a little bit?
It does a little bit in a sense of you know that you have guys that have done it for you and for this program and have been in tight situations. But still, I think each team is so different in terms of personality and how they react to maybe things that maybe don't go their way or things that do go their way. I mean, it's all kind of making sure you're winning each pitch or each inning. I mean, we want to really try to divide the, you know, game into little type matches. That's kind of the whole goal. You know, can we win the first inning? Can we win the second? Can we win the third? If we don't win those three, can we win the next four? Like, that's all kind of part of it. And I think the positive outlook for us is you have guys who have been through a little bit of that high and low. And I think last year for us, I mean, we had some new faces that kind of really needed to kind of step up for us. And I thought they did a good job, but I think this is a different dynamic now when you know that you're not the new guy anymore. You're kind of the guy who's been with the team and everything else too. So I'm hopeful and I'm, you know, we're going to rely on experience and we're going to rely on some new guys that have, like, you know, like I said, we'll really push the envelope and really help us. I think the years in the past, we've had some freshmen kind of come in and or transfers or whatever, and they've really, really, you know, counterbalanced our team that has already kind of been a little bit successful. So that's a good part of it.
Yeah. I think a little bit about like Chance Crothers coming in as a transfer from Carthage. You know, then you have Benderitis and Southwick coming back for their 5th years, you know, they're on the mound. You know, Cam Miller is a junior, I think, this year. So yeah, I was just looking at the, you know, some of the last lineups and I'm like, gosh, it's littered with either 5th years or seniors, you know, as I would probably project as the starting lineup. You know, there's a ton of talent there. So, you know, you think about that plug and play situation, especially in those back to backs or those kind of 3-game sets over a weekend, you know, you kind of mix and match a little bit. There's a lot of positives. There's a lot of positives.
A lot of positives for sure. And I think, you know, I personally, I'm excited. I've felt this way a couple times during my tenure, I guess, here at Augustana. And I am hopeful it ends the way the previous ones have kind of gone. So we'll see what happens. that's all, like I said, it's up to everybody to kind of make sure we're kind of staying on the right path. So we'll see for sure.
Yeah, I like the backdrop behind here. I was trying to figure out what the backdrop of this would be, and I was like, well, we got to go with the CCIW conference champion, the back-to-back. So now, 2 years ago, you know, I was thinking a little bit about this last year, but even going into this year, you know, 2 years ago, we had, you know, Jacob Rush, you know, as a closer. He could really do it all. I felt like, you know, maybe last year's at times, we struggled to find that like consistent closer. You know, as we look ahead to this year, who could you maybe see kind of playing that Jacob Rush type role where we can, you know, we feel like we could really rely on them and in a number of different situations?
I think part of it too is, you know, I think that kind of goes back to the first part is guys stepping up in different roles. Mm-hmm. You know, us losing, you know, Harrison and Josh Wintrub and Jake Rush, and then even partially Addison Southwick a little bit coming back from injury, mm-hmm. you know, going into last year, I thought that was, you know, it was a test. I mean, we had to get guys who I felt like were CCIW type pitchers, and, you know, they might not have shown that consistently throughout the year, but I think this is the year that they're going to kind of show that they kind of belong, and they're hopefully in the upper echelon of that, you know, our competition. So I could see Addison doing that. I could see Benderitis doing that a little bit. I could see Cam Miller kind of being that guy who kind of is a Swiss Army knife a little bit. I mean, I like the new guys that we got. I think there's some talent there. I mean, I was going down through the list right now. I mean, guys are going to be hungry for innings, but I mean, it's all part of winning those innings and kind of get. So that's the beauty of the baseball part of it. So
100%. No, I'm excited this year. You know, one of the things I was looking ahead to, you know, the Vikings will be taking on, you know, University of Iowa up in Iowa City there on March 11th. And I'm trying to figure out how I can work my schedule to get up there and watch it. But, you know, the Vikings, you know, women's wrestlers competed at Iowa, you know, in their duel a few weeks ago. Now the baseball team is heading up there to play. Like, how did that come about from a schedule perspective?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Wallace's son, Trenton, played at Iowa and then was Big Ten freshman or pitcher of the year. And then obviously he's in the Blue Jays organization now with Coach Heller there. And I know Coach Wallace will go up to Iowa City occasionally to go watch practice and all those things and kind of see how they're kind of doing it at the highest level. And the relationship's been really good there for them. In 2020, we actually played UIC. I don't know if you were a part of that or remember that or not. And then kind of COVID kind of shut it down. But we played UIC in 2020, and I felt like our guys responded and kind of rose to the occasion. So I kind of, you know, put a bug in Coach Wallace's ear, like, hey, like, we should go do this every year. Let's go see what it's like. Let's let our guys see what it's like to, you know, be at the highest level in terms of power four, power five stuff, and kind of see how our guys respond. I mean, are the odds of us maybe winning it great, but maybe not, but it's still baseball, so anybody can win at some point. So that's the beauty of the game for sure. So,
well, and you know, the other thing that's nice, I mean, a lot of the Vikings have played, for instance, like in the Northwoods League. You know, I actually got, you know, the Madison Mallards here from when I went up and watched Addison play this summer, and, you know, and Harry was up there, and but, you know, they're one of their pitchers was from Iowa. Gosh, one of their best hitters was from Florida State, you know, so they seem to mix in, you know, really well. And you think about just the talent, you know, there's a lot of talented folks, not only just the Division III level, but they can go and play, you know, in that mixed bag of D1, D2, D3, you know, type folks, you know, and hold their own pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, I think, baseball in general, I think it's actually taken a step up kind of at all levels. And, you know, obviously kids fall through the cracks and they don't maybe go where they want to go out of high school perfectly with Division I, II, III, junior college, whatever, but everybody kind of develops at a different rate. So when you go and watch those games, you think that you're just watching a bunch of, you know, D1 Power 5 guys. In reality, if you actually look at the roster, it's probably more so split of, you know, 40, 30, and you know, 30 again. So it's just kind of a rarity to, you know, in that part of it and understand like how it works and everything else too. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the beast right now for sure. So,
yeah. Now this is your ninth year, at Augustana. you know, what have been maybe some like standout moments, you know, from your career here so far?
Standout moments, I think for me, you know, I do a lot of the recruiting part of it and kind of evaluating. I think that's a thing that I always kind of have to be conscious of is how I'm evaluating all the time. I think each guy, no matter if we're at practice or not, I mean, my brain kind of works a little bit differently. I want to see what it would be like to take a step forward, what these guys do really, really well. I think seeing guys develop into a player that I think they could be, that's probably the biggest high of it, right? For me personally, because they, you know, develop and high character and work ethic, and you kind of see this like mold of a player out in summer ball before they kind of get there. You recruit them to kind of build that relationship, and then they succeed and at a high level. That's probably the number one thing that I really, really enjoy. And then from the other parts of it, obviously winning is more enjoyable than losing. So CCIW conference championships, whether that's regular season or tournament, that's a big thing for me. And then obviously, you know, competing in the NCAA tournament, those are some good ones. Each year there's so many highs, you know, no matter how you kind of view it, you can kind of pick back and look back through 10, 15 games where you pretty much remember a pretty good high. So that's a good thing for sure. So,
yeah, I was just looking through, had my scorebook here, and I was just kind of looking through past games and just trying to remember a little bit what happened last year and some of the cool stuff. And man, it's just littered, like, you know, so many different like side notes around whether it's, you know, Chase Mayfield's walk off, or it was, you know, Heath Perry, or, you know, some of the dominant pitching, you know, that the Vikings have had. And, you know, it's, tell you what, it's been a ton of fun just to follow and kind of be a part of it. And and you know, one of the things I was thinking about, I was like, is really kind of centered there in the picture, Joe Morgano. And
yeah,
I was like, okay, you know, this is, you know, who's gonna be the hype man this year when YMCA comes on? I was like, That was probably some of the most fun stuff. So I mean, who's the hype person on the team kind of moving forward? Is anybody starting to stand out?
I don't know if anybody's really stood out like Joe. Joe's a pretty unique character in that sense, and that's one of my favorite things about him is no matter if he was catching a bullpen that day or whatever it was, I mean, he always had a smile on his face. And I told him, I, you know, when our season ended last year, that man, I appreciated him more than he could ever probably imagine, a sense of coming to the park every day. And even when we're maybe struggling or whatever else, I mean, Joe has a very, very positive outlook on whatever we were going to attack that day. So that's one of the best qualities about Joe. I think everybody on the team would say that he's one of the best teammates they've had in that sense too. I don't know if I could put a finger on anybody right now. I think that's going to take the dynamic of the team to kind of figure out as well. I don't know if we want anybody dancing in a YMCA either, but that's the choice of the team, I guess. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I always loved it because he could be down there, you know, taking some pitches, you know, in between games. The next thing, you know, he's running down the sideline from the bullpen in his full catcher's gear, you know, ready to go. And, it was, whether it was that or inside Carver too at a basketball game, he was always always a fun one to watch. I got a couple fun questions I wanted to ask. So this is an over under question. It's purely your call here, but Vikings finished last year with 100 hit by pitches, which was 12th best in the NCAA. They had 133 the previous season, which was second best in NC2A, third, you know, the prior year. So over under this year, do you think the Vikings are at, I took an average, 118 hit by pitches this season?
I'll say under.
Say under.
Under, I think under, yeah. Yep.
All right. Strikeout to walk ratio. So in the 2022-2023 season, Vikings were number one in college at 3.4, and they were just under the top 100 last year with a 1.88. So do you think over or under strike to walkout ratio the Vikings finish in the, we'll say, the top 30?
I'll say over.
Over? Yeah, I mean, meaning like under 30? Or third.
30, yeah. I think we'll be in the top 30 in that. So.
All right. Who has the best walk-up song on the team?
I really try not to listen to them sometimes. I think my last place guy would probably be Dimitri. I just don't, not that style of you know, kind of pop music. I'll give guys in the past who have had really, really good ones. I think Ozanix was pretty good. I think, you know, especially in 2020, 2023, it was pretty solid. Daniel Moselle's was pretty solid last year, actually. I don't mind that one for sure. So
the I had, when I was inside the booth there, I kept, you know, asking for when Jacob Rush would come out of the bullpen, they played Paul Abdul's Rush, and they finally got them to do it. And I don't think he knew exactly what was happening the first time, but I loved it. So I got my one in, but I always like to give Aragon a hard time, so I'm going to chirp him a little bit. And it's like, he might have the worst with getting jiggy with it. I was like, you got to change that. You got to change it.
Yep.
Well, lastly, I know you're busy, getting stuff ready, but, how do I get one of those St. Paddy's Day hats or shirts? That's the last question I really have for you.
I can easily get you a shirt. We don't do, or you just got to give me a size. So, I mean, shoot me an email or text or whatever, and I'll make sure. It might have a number on it, but that'll be better than anything else for sure.
Heck yeah. No, that'd be awesome. That was like really the most important question I wanted to ask you before we jumped off. Well, Coach, I appreciate you jumping on. I know today's been a busy day for you, but, good luck on Friday. I'll be watching from afar, and we'll be, certainly excited to see everything in person here once we hit our Augie Invitational here in a few weeks. So again, thanks for connecting.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and you know what you do for our program and the social media side of it, and even little things like this. I know it. People don't always tell you, maybe, and hopefully they do. But I mean, I definitely appreciate it. I know our guys appreciate it. I know our coaching staff does. I mean, you raise the program continuously and kind of talk positively about it, and I think that's a good thing for our guys and just for the program, which has been really successful under Coach Wallace. I know it's easy to talk about programs that have been successful, but that's not always easy too. So I'm excited for the season. I look forward to obviously seeing you out there. I'll make sure I have a St. Paddy's Day shirt for you. And hopefully we come back with a couple of wins this weekend. And then, you know, we'll continue to kind of follow up and check in with each other. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds great. Thanks for jumping on. Appreciate the kind words.
Absolutely.